Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Helping make it all possible is the generous partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
And I'm joined now by my guest, Julio Rosas. You can find him online at mostlypeaceful.live. Check out his Substack as well. I'll let him give you the information for that. Also, he is the author of Mostly Peaceful. But I brought Julio on because we have... Honestly, guys, this isn't a crisis at the border. This is a strategy that's occurring at the border, as I talked about in my opening monologue. So I wanted to bring Julio Rosas on because he's been at the border. He's an independent journalist. He's spent a lot of time there. So, Julio Rosas, welcome to the Carl Jackson Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Julio, could you help us out here? You've been to the border multiple times. The border issue isn't getting any better. And as a matter of fact, it's getting worse. We've recorded some record high numbers just in the last couple of weeks here. We have a large illegal migrant caravan coming into the U.S.-Mexico border as we speak. I mean, these numbers are insane. What do you see on the ground that people like me that haven't been there might not understand, the smells, the amount of people coming at you? Could you give us maybe a description of what it's like to actually be on the ground?
I would just say it's overwhelming, and it's weird, because when you look at illegal immigration historically, right, even under Democratic administrations, what comes to mind? Oh, it's people at night trying to avoid Border Patrol. You know, whenever you see movies or TV shows, you see the Border Patrol, the SUV pulling up, and the people are hiding in the brush, or they're hiding under a bridge, or, you know, whatever. They're doing everything that they can to avoid being detected by Border Patrol or American law enforcement. And for the past, since basically January 20th, 2021, it's been the complete opposite, where people in broad daylight, and even at the beginning of all this, people were still crossing either very early in the morning before sunrise or very late at night, still trying to find Border Patrol, still trying to turn themselves in, at least the ones that want to be caught, because remember, there's still a large number of people who don't want to be caught. But now they're just doing it openly during the day. I mean, it's so even now, it's still so weird to realize that here are people who, you know, don't necessarily have a legal right to enter our country, and they're just brazenly doing it in broad daylight with a bunch, you know, with sometimes news media cameras, right? So that's just kind of how upside down everything is. And in some cases, it's gotten so bad. I particularly remember in Yuma of 2021 in December, where Border Patrol agents were the ones hiding from the illegal immigrants because they were unable to take in all these people because their holding facility was so over capacity. So they were ordered to literally not patrol the border, because if they see people, they have to take them into custody. And so if they don't see them, quote unquote, they don't have to take them into custody. So it's just the way as shocking and as overwhelming as it is, it's just weird.
You know, man, that's a it's funny that you say that. You know, oftentimes I've interviewed Tom Homan. I've interviewed, man, I forget the gentleman that was in Trump's administration, Mark
Morgan.
I forget his name escapes. Yes, Mark Morgan. Thank you so much. But, you know, I've asked about the morale of the Border Patrol agents when they're doing their job. But you know what? I've never thought to ask, except when you just described it here, Julio. And again, I'm speaking to Julio Rosas. Make sure you check him out, mostlypeaceful.live, mostlypeaceful.live. He is the author of Mostly Peaceful, and he's an independent journalist, and he's been on the border lots, firsthand experience. Reporting directly from the southern border. But one thing that I've neglected and I've not thought about asking, I don't think, Julio, is what does it do for your psyche as a journalist being on the border? Typically, as a journalist, and you're a Marine. I mean, former Marine, but you're always a Marine, right? So so you're on the border. You're a journalist. You're breaking news and you're sharing news, because typically I would think your hope would be, okay, I'm doing my job now, exposing what's happening at the border. Congress is going to do their job. I mean, that's what I would think if I was on the border. So what is it like being a journalist and you're like, I'm reporting this stuff. I'm doing all of this work. I'm collecting all of this data, all of this video, and I'm sharing it. And we have a United States government that doesn't seem to care about this at all.
I'll say that the Border Patrol agents do have it much harder because they live it every day. Thankfully, I don't have to see it all the time. But yeah, when you're on this big story it's not even like a deep investigative dive. It's literally just go there and you see what's happening. You report on it. It's demoralizing. It's demoralizing because you know that it doesn't end at the border, right? It's the second and third and fourth effects further within the country. And it feels like at times you're just kind of the crazy guy with the end of the world sandwich board on a busy sidewalk, and no one's paying attention to you, right? And even though the threat and the problem is very real. And I would say that it was very similar on a different level, but it's similar to how I felt covering all the BLM riots in 2020, where again, you're like, hey, here's a very big issue. It's not ending anytime soon. And yet no one seems to want to actually do anything to prevent the violence that's spilling onto American streets. And so that's why I'm a little concerned about heading into next year with all the current protests that are happening. But yeah, it's the same thing with the border, where it's this giant problem. There are people who do care about it, but they're not the people in power who are actually able to do anything about it. And so, I've obviously come to definitely learn that, you shouldn't really hope for the U.S. government to do anything about it, because if you're waiting on the government to do something, you're going to be waiting for a very long time. And so I have to just shut off and I have to literally not think about it when I'm not there. Wow. Because if I continue to do so, I'm going to lose my mind, because now it's hard. It's hard when I'm not, because like I said, the border crisis extends further into the country, and it's happening all over, in all these different cities and all the problems that it's causing. So it's not to the point where, I'm just forgetting about it and say, okay, I'm done with it, because like I said, it's a very important issue. It is something that I care deeply about. And, it's not just about me, but it's all about the forgotten Americans who live and work at the border. But because, these aren't big cities, these aren't, typically the people that politicians pay attention to. They're left to themselves, and so they appreciate the coverage. They appreciate the work that myself, Bill Malusian, Ali Bradley, Jorge Ventura are doing to try to raise awareness about this. Because even let's say a Republican takes back the White House in 2024, the effects of just these 4 years on just this one issue is going to be with us for decades.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply. This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from Freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
You know, and that's such a great point. We have just 2.5 minutes remaining in this block, Julio. But I sit here and I think, I'm like, whether it's a Trump more than likely or a DeSantis that gets in 2024, we've not experienced illegal immigration at this level. And let's say even Trump gets in. If he were to get in, he's a one-term president. Democrats obviously want this crisis. It's not a crisis, in my opinion. It's a strategy. Do you think that we can clean this up? I know Tom Holman said we're going to deport every single one. I just don't think it's going to be that easy because you have a bunch of Marxists that are literally infiltrated in the government. So part of your fight is going to be trying to get rid of them and then trying to implement strategies and policies that many of them don't want to implement.
Right, exactly. And it's not even just kind of the you know, deep state, so to speak, that's going to be fighting against that. But it's also just the fact that, and this is something that not a lot of people are talking about, we're going to have a whole nother generation of DACA. There's so many kids who are being brought over young, you know, young kids that are being brought over with their families. And, you know, that are like, take the ones from 2021. So they've already been here for 2 years, going on three, going to be four. So there, you can bet that all the immigration rights groups and NGOs, they're going to be filing lawsuits on their behalf. And then we're going to have a whole other fight when it comes to just on that particular subset. But then, and then on top of that, you have, you know, technically they're not illegal once they get processed into the United States. That's one of the issues because people say, well, just deport them if they're here legally. But the thing is that they're kind of not, they do have a quote unquote, you know, ability to stay here to go through their asylum claims. And so you're just going to have a whole other legal battle that's going to go along with that. So that's what I'm saying, that it's going to be with us for a very long time, because it's not just as simple as saying, we'll just deport them. It depends on the country that they're from. It depends on how they got in. It depends on a lot of different things. So yeah, this is Trump or DeSantis or whoever is going to have a very difficult time to clean up this. If Republican takes back the White House.
Man, this is such a great point. A new generation of DACA. Only 20 seconds left before we're out in this this block here, Jorge. But yeah, this concerns me. This concerns me greatly. I mean, the demographic shift of the United States is going to be just absolutely insane come election time. Your take. 10 seconds left.
Yeah, no, it's this is one of the biggest issues. And as I've always said, that this was Biden's first crisis, and it is self-inflicted.
Again, I'm saying that this isn't a crisis. This is a strategy. And Julio, I want to talk to you about that, because you opened up my eyes in the first block that you were with us. And, you know, we're going to have a whole new generation of DACA, if you will, recipients. And so it's not going to be as easy as some people say to get rid of a lot of the illegal migrants that are coming into the country right now, just because a lot of these things will be tied up in court, in the court system, and perhaps for years. So let me ask you about this. I think this is a strategy. I think this is a strategy. In my opinion, this is the Clower-Piven strategy, if you will, to overwhelm the system. You get a bunch of people on welfare. You get a bunch of people that are, not assimilated into the country, don't love the country like you and I do, don't respect the laws like you and I do. And you get a perpetual or a permanent, basically, underclass. And this is what the Democrat Party wants, in my opinion. And so there is no motivation, no matter what any of us say, to close this border down. What do you say to that?
Absolutely. Like I was saying at the last block, was that this is self-inflicted, and this is very much on purpose. The Biden administration knows all the problems that this is causing. And if they really wanted to stop it, they would take pretty concrete steps to do anything about it. And if you hear with what even the Mayor Brandon Johnson or Eric Adams, they're not necessarily asking for the Biden administration to close the border. They're more asking just for more. They just want money. They just want more money so that they can better absorb kind of the impact that people are arriving. So this is very deliberate. I think this is a way they try to get a new block of voters so that they can pass amnesty and say, we gave you amnesty, so vote for us. I mean, so this isn't some fringe conspiracy. This isn't just some racial thing. It's like, no, this is blatantly obvious. Democrats themselves have admitted in the past to say, like, yeah, we want this so that we can capture that voting block. And look, I'll give them credit. That is a smooth tactic on their part, because they're saying that that it's not happening when they are very obviously trying to do it. So beyond that, I don't know why that they want this to happen. There's really no other explanation for it, because, you know, they say that they're for immigrants. They say that they're for protecting these people, when one of the biggest reasons why I'm against illegal immigration is because the people who suffer the most initially are the illegal immigrants themselves, when they have to hand themselves over to the cartels and human smuggling and all the atrocities that happen on the way north. And it's like, why would you allow that to happen? The human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the child sex trafficking that has exploded as a result of all this. I mean, it's horrific. Why would anyone want this? And Democrats, they want voters, and so that to them, that is a price that they're willing to have other people pay so they can have power.
You know what's
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply. This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
It's amazing that you say that, Julio, because I think the Republican Party, I don't understand why we say this every election cycle, and then it's always true for the next election cycle. But their messaging stinks. I understand, except for the power of the purse, which I think they should be utilizing, a whole lot better than they are. I don't understand why they don't get in front of this issue and start stringing at the hearts of Americans as well, making this an emotional issue. I've had on another independent journalist, a young lady by the name of Arden Young, and she's been exposing what's happening at Pornhub and saying how they're making money off of people that are being trafficked literally on their website, and they're like, yeah, we know what's happening, blah blah blah. And I'm just sitting here, man. We don't know what older, you know, women and young children are going through. Let alone what they have to experience just crossing through the rough terrain with these Mexican cartels. Why is it that the Republican Party, in your opinion, just can't seem to get a cohesive message beyond just the borders are invaded? Yes, that speaks to the base, but obviously a lot of people must not be listening.
I think it's just what happens with DC politics. I mean, I unfortunately lived in that area for 6 years, and that was 4 years too many. And it's a bubble. I mean, it's a bubble. And sure, I mean, there's certain levels to it. Obviously, the media and Democrats are on a different level. But because to me, one of the biggest, you know, indicators of just how bad things are is that the Republican caucus can't even in the House can't even get enough votes to impeach Secretary Mayorkas. And that's something that the base wants 100%, nearly 100%. Sure, it might not get anywhere in the Senate because, you know, OK, fine, whatever. But, you know, at least follow through on that. You said you were going to do that. So, OK, follow through on that. And then, OK, fine. We had some things with the speaker fight and all this other stuff. It's like, OK, so we got new leadership, technically. And so, like, just do something about it. That's what Republican voters want. So why can't you? And of course, you know, that's just one issue that House Republicans just can't seem to really have any sort of follow through on. And so I think it's just the fact that there's apathy. There's just that, like, oh, we know better than our voters. And it's just typical, you know, politician thinking. And obviously there's exceptions to that, but it's just that when you have this sort of mindset that just politicians in general just seem to have about, you know, like, we don't care. We don't really, it doesn't really matter. Well, then, yeah, then you're going to have this. And so, that's why, and I know it's cliche to say, I know it's a meme, but I just can't stress enough just how important this next election is, and how, you know, if, you know, let's say Biden or whatever Democrat remains in the White House, I just cannot see this country being even remotely the same when it comes to the border being as open as it is now for another 4 years. And that, and again, that's just one issue. It doesn't even talk about the economy. It doesn't even talk about foreign policy. So this is a very important election, and it's definitely a make or break.
You know, and it's important that you say that. And I look at the 2024 election, and obviously there's a presidential primary. I figure it'll either continue after Iowa or it'll pretty much end after Iowa. Depending on whether or not these polls are accurate, I don't necessarily believe them, but I do believe that Trump is way ahead. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I'm thinking of 2024. I'm like, the White House isn't enough. You're going to have some strong leadership in Congress and, you know, the House of Representatives. You're going to have to take back the Senate as Republicans. And they've been lackluster, with the exception of a handful of conservative, mainstays in the Senate that are always the names that are, you know, on the news or fighting the battle, seemingly. This is absolutely, this just scares the crud out of me, to be honest with you, Julio. Talk about, listen, the way that you said it best, how the elections are actually, how the country won't be the same. I think about schools. I think about how they're going to be flooded. People are going to get, not as great of an education because the classrooms are going to be flooded. Not to mention, you're going to have to hire a bunch of people that are bilingual, crime, the medical care. Just talk about some of the basic stuff that I think a lot of Americans probably don't think about when it comes to illegal immigration and how it's going to impact them as American citizens and taxpayers.
Yeah, I mean, just on the healthcare issue alone, I mean, Eagle Pass, Maverick County is not exactly a wealthy county in Texas, and their main hospital has had to foot the bill. Last time I checked, it was close to $1 million, and that's a lot for a county like that. But again, these people aren't staying in Eagle Pass or Maverick County; they're going further in. When it comes to their needs, you know, a lot of these people, they are coming from third world countries that don't have the same healthcare. As much as like we like to slag on our healthcare system, it is much better than large parts of the world. And so these people are coming over with very serious problems that require long-term care. And if they since hospitals cannot refuse people, you know, for walk-ins, they require, you know, they're requiring like heart transplants. They're requiring, you know, just the amount of pregnancies and the complications and all that and all the costs that are associated with that. I mean, it's crazy what hospitals are having to do to foot the bill for people that probably aren't going to pay them back, or at least pay them back in full if they're lucky. So just on that, and then yes, you're right. I mean, New York City, it's completely inundated with all these children that are coming in now. And again, you're talking about bilingual. It's not even people who are coming from Latin American countries anymore. It's people coming from all over the world. So it's just so crazy with how, again, the second, third, fourth effects. Like, sure, if you don't live on the border, it doesn't matter. The border's coming to you.
Man, that's such a great point, and you're right. I said bilingual. Texas is doing something that I want to talk about with you. Texas has arrested thousands at the U.S.-Mexico border, and the state has expanded its power. But I'm like, could we not have done this sooner? I mean, maybe there's something that I'm missing, because you're right. This border crisis, or this open border strategy, is coming to a city near you. Julio, before we go on, just real quickly, mostlypeaceful.live, tell people where they can go to find you, and also the author of the book, Mostly Peaceful. Just remind people where that title came from, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so Mostly Peaceful is my mostlypeaceful.live is my Substack, and then my book Fiery But Mostly Peaceful. It all sends back to the 2020 BLM riots. I was in Kenosha covering the riots that were happening there. I woke up the next morning and I saw people were posting that CNN chyron that said fiery but mostly peaceful protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I'm thinking, at first I thought, wow, that's a really good Photoshop, because it was just a screenshot. But then someone posted the video. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And so it was. You know, CNN is definitely not a fan of any of their work, but that obviously I've kind of co-opted that gaffe, and because it was quintessential, basically the very distillation of just how horrible the media was covering all those riots back then.
You know, and it's so funny, because every once in a while I'll run across those clips on my feed to this day, and I can't help but to crack up and laugh. But I should probably be crying, Julio, because you touched on this earlier in the show. But what we experienced in 2020, I mean, again, the federal government did absolutely nothing about the, you know, and listen, I love Trump, but I didn't. I'll be frank, I didn't get that. I'm afraid that that type of violence could erupt again. Here's what I'm concerned about. I don't think people would take it as lightly as they did in 2020. So I'm very concerned that things could get completely out of hand. And then we have Biden, or whomever is running the White House and the administration, whom basically Antifa, BLM, and all of these kind of people are essentially, in my opinion, basically the brown shirts for the Democrat Party.
Yeah, and what's been happening at our border is very just similar to just the overall just slow decline and degrading of what our country, you know, used to be, right? And when you look at the, you know, the lack of policing in the inner city, it's basically the same thing as the lack of policing in at our border, right? And it's very similar. I mean the term anarcho-tyranny is what comes to mind. So, you know, what I see happening on our border is very similar to what's happening in our cities when it comes to, you know, the security of our elections. And you know, there's just no confidence in anything. There's nothing that is seemingly there. You know, the guardrails and the safeguards that you'd think would be in place are no longer there. And it's just kind of, you know, a free for all. And it's just, you know, those in power are going to protect themselves, and the rest of the people can go, you know, can do whatever. So that's why when people, especially at the very beginning, when people are like, oh, it's just the border, you know, it's just Republicans fear mongering. It's like, no, this is a very serious issue, because when you have, it's the same exact thing with the Border Patrol being demoralized and understaffed. This is the same exact thing with any of the major cities that are dealing with, obviously different effects, but it's all one and the same. And again, it's all very deliberate. It's all very, when I was going through boot camp, my drill instructors would tell us, as chaotic and as jarring and as stressful as the training regimen was, there was a method to the madness. And what we're seeing now, especially with the pro-Hamas rallies and protests in, here in the States, there is a method to the madness with that. And the same thing with our border, same thing with a lot of other things with foreign policy and all that. And it's obviously nothing good, but that's just the way I see it. When you're on the ground and you get to see all these stuff firsthand, you can kind of see through the fog. And you kind of see through the kind of the obfuscation, and you see like, no, yeah, there are some driving forces behind this that want the chaos, that want all this kind of disorder.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply. This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
That's a great point. Are you able to, when you were on the ground in these areas, are you able to kind of sniff out, if you will, or spot out what appears to be, you know, maybe some of the phonies, maybe some of the organizers? I shouldn't say phonies, that's the wrong word, but perhaps the organizers where you're like, okay, this is clearly strategic. This is clearly a plan. This is clearly people are being paid, so on, et cetera. Was there clear, a clear discernment, if you will, on the ground where you could see that?
Well, I mean, I'll give you an example. So, in D.C., there's a lot of protests, right? I mean, some large, some very small, and especially in 2020, when the riots largely died down for that particular area, there were still protests going on. And I would see a lot of the same people at all these things. And of course, I'm thinking, well, how do you have a job? Like, what do you do outside of this? Because, my job, the reason why I'm noticing this is because it is my job to be out here. I'm paid to be out here. So how are you able to, especially a expensive city like Washington, D.C., how are you able to protest full time nearly? And there's one woman in particular that I've been seeing since 2019, since like the first impeachment of Trump.
Wow.
And she came down to Miami when I was covering, when Trump came down to the federal courthouse for the first time for that case. I saw her in Miami. I'm thinking, like, travel is expensive these days with inflation and all that. How are you able to come down here just for this and then go? I mean, so yeah, you just kind of notice these things. And then, and again, that's just one subgroup. And then it doesn't even touch on all the, again, the Palestinian protests and those organizers. There's this one group called Within Our Lifetime that organizes basically all the New York City ones, and they are out every single day. They just posted on their Instagram an emergency protest for later today. So I'm just thinking, how are you able to support yourselves? Wow. especially in an expensive city like New York City. So yeah, that's why it's just not some fringe conspiracy. That, like, no, there are some driving forces behind this that just obviously want the chaos, but also because they do support with what they're doing. Obviously, it's not just they're, but who right. knows? They could be useful idiots or whatever. But obviously, there's some obviously there's stuff that's organic, stuff that's spontaneous, but. And that's why I'm concerned with heading into this year when it comes to political violence, because 2020 really showed them how far they were able to take it and how much they were able to get away with. And there hasn't been accountability. If you're January 6th, okay, accountability is coming towards you. You know, the hammer's yeah. going to fall down on you. But if you know, I don't know, let's say you set a store on fire and kill a guy, you know, because you were doing a BLM protest, you know, the DOJ is going to be like, well, yeah, actually we'll reduce his sentence because his heart was in the right place, which, and that case actually happened, by the way, I'm not making that up. That actually happened. The guy set a store on fire, killed somebody. And they said, well, the DOJ said, well, you know, we'll give him a little less time just because he was protesting for a good cause, which is absolutely insane. So the far left is organized. The far left is energized. They're going to use the border. They're going to use all these different issues to really drive a wedge and cause, at the very minimum, just cause disorder to kind of further agenda. When people say, oh, well, why are they blocking traffic or why are they protesting at these Christmas events? You know, they're not going to convince anybody. They're not trying to convince anybody. They're just flexing their muscle. They're just showing off of how much they're able to get away with because Great they know point. That those in power are not going to do anything about it. And so it's kind of to them, it's like, well, what are you going to do about it?
Wow. So, man, that is a great point. Such a great insight. We only have a couple minutes left. And, you know, it just quickly reminds me, too. Oh, fascist Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the whole thing with the COVID lockdowns. I'll go off on a tangent on that. We only have a couple minutes left. Let me get to this Texas issue. I said I wanted to talk to you about that. Texas has arrested thousands at the U.S.-Mexico border as state expands powers to arrest migrants. This is a Fox News headline. Texas authorities have arrested nearly 10,000 migrants who illegally crossed the U.S.-Mexico border under a new arrest and jail operation aimed at deterring illegal immigration. Julio, why couldn't they have done this sooner? This doesn't make any sense to me. Oh, and just real quickly, the point I was making with Fauci was he was like, hey, it's okay to protest, BLM or, you know, social justice, even when COVID is out. So 2024 isn't a lockdown at all for Republicans. But respond to this Texas issue here.
So I understand the kind of criticisms, against Abbott and his handling of the border. What I have to remind people is that the problem is you're trying to have a state address a federal issue. Immigration falls under federal jurisdiction. That's their role. That's their job. Obviously, it's a problem when the federal government doesn't want to actually do anything about it. And so what we've seen is that, you know, Texas is trying to do the best that they can. But they can only do so much, because if they do something that the federal government doesn't like, which is often, the federal government just has more power than the state does. And they're going to say, nope, you can't do that. So I think it just ultimately just comes down to legal issues.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Julio Rosas is his name. Mostlypeaceful.live. Check him out. Also the author of Mostly Peaceful. Julio Rosas, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell a friend to go to Town Hall Review and sign up as well today.